Ladies and gentlemen, good evening, and welcome to another edition of PZ85 Plays. I am your Game Master, Double H, as always, and a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, our adventures in the Star Wars Saga Edition Dawn of Defiance campaign continued. We are still making our way through Episode 4, Echoes of the Jedi, and in this latest installment, we head to the second sub-level of the ruined Jedi Almas Academy. To see what lies in store there. Before we go any further, let's introduce our cast as always. First, playing our resident Jedi, Craid Halen, is the man himself, Tanner Calvert.
For now.
he threw up his hand.
He ain't lying, boss.
Not for now.
He did it in such a way as like he didn't know what to do with his hands. I don't know where to put them. We've also got our Both and Spy, Iris Nay, played by Lindsay Wolfgang.
Today
for now.
Oh, I caught about three words of that.
I said I have my emotional support tauntaun with me today.
Oh, there it is. Okay, now I got it all. And of course, playing Hirani Tar is the co-owner and creator of Podzilla 1985, Shannon Young.
Howdy, it's good to see you all.
finger guns. Okay, when we left off last week, you guys had just finished dealing with some reanimated corpses in one of the rooms on the first sub-level that were being controlled by some force-driven parasitic creatures. You dispatched those, and the blast door that led to the secret stairway down to sub-level 2 opened up. You guys were preparing to head down there, as I recall, when we left off, right?
Yes.
Okay, so we're just going to pick right up there. Unless you guys have any questions, we're going to go ahead and get started just right at that moment. Cool?
I'm good. Sounds good. Good for it.
Okay.
Actually, Hunter, real
the
quick.
The stairway
itself. Just so you know, Caleb did. Yes. Caleb booed you for old time's sakes, but then he said he loved you. Just wanted you to know.
Oh, that's awful nice of him. So the staircase that you guys reached this in this area... Craid, you in particular felt a deep sense of unease. You can tell that your force capabilities are being repressed, or at least your connection to the force is being repressed as you head down into this second sub-level. Excuse me. You also, as soon as you start to make your way down the steps, note that the lights in that area are off. It gets nothing but darker and darker the further you step down, and colder as well. It may then occur to you that the control room that you guys found on the first level had controls for the first and the second sub-levels, but you could not power both at the same time. And so without going back there, it will be completely dark on the second sub-level.
Okay. I have low light vision.
That's all well and good, but it's pitch black. Yeah.
Does anybody want to go back and see if they can't do something
some
with that?
You need low light for that.
We still have those glow rods, don't we?
And my lightsaber.
We still have. I was keeping track of that. Hang on.
I think it was approximately 6 at this point. I think the box had 8 and you used 2.
Yes, we have 6 left.
How long do those things last?
It's a while. They're like 8 hours, something like that.
Oh, okay. Then I'd.
I was still carrying one.
That's like the ones we had 6 still being used then.
Yeah, I say let's push on then.
That's completely up to you guys. Gross is going to follow your lead. He's still got 7A, the droid, in the net sling thing on his back. But yeah, he's going to follow your lead. So
can 7A see in the dark?
That's a good question. I'm going to assume no. Otherwise, I feel like I would know about that by now. Okay. I'm going to say no. I'm going to hand wave it as a no. He's only half complete anyway, quite literally. You only have the upper half of him. So I'm going to say he's damaged enough that, no, he can't see in the dark.
Okay, then I say we crack open a cold one and make our way through. Unless you guys want to go back up and turn it on.
If it means going back up the shaft and then coming back down again, no.
No, it was at the base of the turbo lift. It was on the first sub level.
Yeah, I think it was just.
It does mean going back up the steps and across the area. At this point, reasonably, to get back to where you are after doing that, because of course you'll have to come back this way in the dark through the first sub level, you can estimate it's going to take you probably about 20 to 30 minutes.
Let's just use the glow rods.
It's much scarier when we just run out and die. Let's do that.
Yes, let's do that.
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's just jump into it.
Just for the record, you guys did have a map of the area that you would have pulled from the main computer system, and I'm going to drop that over in the text portion of this right now. That is right here. So that's what that looks like. And you do know what some of the rooms are. You know roughly where the armory and the weapons room are located. As a matter of fact, you'll find those pretty quickly, because where it says stairs up underneath armory on the left-hand side there, that would be the set of steps that you are coming down into the second sub-level. There's also a refresher. Refresher is a Star Wars term for a bathroom, basically. There's a surgical bay down here, and there's another set of stairs that are blocked. Those are the ones you could not get earlier. That would have been in the hangar on the first sub-level. There's a park in the underground area, but beyond that, most of the other rooms are not labeled or immediately given purpose.
Okay, you say we're staying. Where are we at?
You are coming into this area. You're coming down the stairs on the set of stairs up that it says on the left-hand side. So you're coming down right beside the weapons room and the armory.
Okay. I got to check that.
I said, where are we going, Kraid? I'm following your lead. You're the Jedi.
Let's check the armory and the weapons room.
Okay. In what order?
I'll check the weapons room first.
Okay. It makes sense, because effectively you're coming directly into the weapons room, mm-hmm. And then the armory is connected to that. Okay. So, with your glow rods, you make your way down the steps again. It's dark, very dark, enveloping dark. Like, it feels like it's pressing in on you. But the glow rods and your saber, Kraid, are keeping it at bay. The weapons room itself, you can see as you shine your glow rods around that it was visited probably pretty recently. The blast door controls have been destroyed. And basically the first thing, Harani, that catches your attention is that if you want to leave this area, you're going to have to do some major repair, in terms of mechanics. You also note that the room itself is laid out in a strange way. There's long tracts of space that are set off by on one end, it looks like different stations, weirdly. And at the same time that you start to shine these glow rods around, all of a sudden, what looks like a Jawa just materializes in front of you almost out of nowhere and starts to wave around a blaster pistol. As you reach for your weapons, Graz is the one who actually steps forward and swipes a paw through it as though he's like attacking but also curious about it. And his hand goes right through. It looks like it's a holographic of some kind. And all at once it kind of dawns on all of you. This is a shooting range. These are targets. And you're at the end of it, having entered this area.
Oh, No, I don't like where that's going.
As that happens, a couple more of them start to pop up. There are representations of other different little small beasts and such. And they just kind of hop about, move about. They don't make any sound. But holographically, they just move around the area where you are, seemingly as though they're trying to avoid blaster fire.
I want to be creeped out.
You are.
Okay.
There's no role for that. You succeed.
That's good.
Okay, let's make our way to the armory now.
I'm going to follow behind Kraid, right in between his shoulder blades for the most part. So, just for the record.
Yeah, you can do so. You get around the room reasonably easily enough. The holographic targets continue to go through their motions. Every once in a while you see them reset like a bad GIF that doesn't loop properly. And then they kind of go back to their movement, but there's no weapons in this immediate area or anything that seems to have triggered their appearance other than your appearance. The door that, as far as your map is concerned, says would lead to the armory is a blast door, just like all the rest of them. And with no power in this area, it is powered down, which means if you want to enter that area, you're going to have to, as before, make mechanics checks and such.
All right, Hirani, get at it.
Yeah. I'm on it. I always have to remind myself of what my mechanics is. Also, if you guys see flickering, I apologize. Whenever I click something new sometimes, my whole screen flickers. Not sure why, not a fan of that, but okay, I've got a 14. So, let's do this. I think we're going to start the night off hot with a nat 20.
Yes.
Why would you call for a nat 20 on a skill check?
Well, good news, it's everybody. Fine. Yeah, good news.
It's fine. 25 is plenty good enough for you. Plug your power pad in, do your thing. Power pack data pad. You got to do both. Basically, just to give power to the door and to tell it what you want it to do. Give it a couple of minutes, and eventually you're able to power that door open. Again, the back room is definitely an armory. There's an area, interestingly enough, of transparent, like, plexiglass type stuff that runs along the floor. And if you look down close and kneel to it, you can see that there's a little stream that is running along under the floor, like right at floor level. But the room itself is set up like a standard armory would be. It's got spaces for blasters and all sorts of weapons, which Crane in particular strikes you as strange. This is a Jedi Academy. Why are they so heavily fortified in terms of ranged weapons like this? There are not any answers in the immediate area, as best you can tell. All there really is are a handful of working blaster pistols. If you test them all out and give them a look over, it looks like there's about 7 working blaster pistols and approximately 20 power packs that are fully powered up. Everything else in the room has either been stolen and left an empty space where it used to be on the wall or is completely rusted beyond use.
I'm going to grab a couple extra power packs.
You are welcome to do so. Like I said, there are 20 of them. So take what you like.
Might the Jedi grab a blaster?
I can't tell you you can't.
Oh, hold on.
It's there for the taking.
Hold on.
Let me get the red light ready. All right. Go ahead, Tanner.
Yeah, it's not against the rules to have a blaster or anything. No, you can.
Yeah, I'm gonna take a blaster.
And there's the red.
Okay. You have a blaster pistol. If you need the stats on it, actually Shannon can give them to you because he uses a standard blaster as well.
Yeah, it's a 3d6.
And then to attack with it, it'll be your base attack bonus plus whatever your dex modifier is.
Thought that was uncivil. Hirani's gonna watch Kraid take the blaster and just eyebrow up. Like, I thought that was uncivilized.
Well, everybody's scared to get close to me anymore, so.
Great reasoning. Thumbs up.
I prob. beyond that, again, there's nothing else of note in here. These weapons are kind of scattered around. There's lots of empty space. Clearly, this is an area that, if anyone could get to it, has been mostly ransacked. It's kind of surprising, as a matter of fact, the longer you're here, that there's anything left in this room. And it kind of slowly dawns on you all in one way or another. Oh, that's probably because most people don't make it this far. So you did just run into an awful lot of dead bodies upstairs that didn't stay dead for long. So
at this point, I don't even remember why we're here. I just remember that I'm terrified to go a step further.
We're after a holocron.
Oh, well, let's find that holocron.
That one's got it.
Yeah. All right, Kraid.
Okay. What do you want to do?
I guess we're going to come back out of the armory, back into the weapons room, and out.
Okay. Out into the, like, open hallway.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, you can do that.
First thing I want to do is, let me double check this real quick. I'd like to get to that surgical bay.
Okay.
Because your boy's sitting at 31 health points.
Knowing where you're headed by the map, you can make your way up across or basically just north. You can make your way cardinal north, and then to the right, you'll pass a couple rooms along the way. You don't hear any particular noise or anything in that area. And you make your way to the surgical bay room with no issues. Yeah. It's sealed with a blast door. That door is sealed. So if you want in, you'll have to break in.
Yeah, I'm on it.
Thank you, Harani.
This is why they bring me. I thought it was from a wit. All right.
You also have a ship.
Thanks. Hey, we like you because of your stuff. It's like I'm back in high school again.
And you buy us things.
Does anybody like me for my own personality? Christ.
You proposed it and Lindsay coughed.
It's a 20. I got a 20.
It takes a little longer to get into this one, but yeah, after a little bit, you work out the coding to get through the door. Door pops open. Inside, it's as described, it is a surgical bay. The walls are sterile white, or at least where they remain so they're meant to be. The room itself reeks of bleach and other chemicals. Faintly, you catch the hint of mildew as well. There's a half dozen tables that are cluttering the area. And there's another small blast door that does not, as best I recall, appear on the map itself. It does. Off to the left-hand side when you first enter, there's a blast door that leads to the left there. Crate, if you were hoping for healing, there is nothing in the way of that to be found in this room. Anything usable in terms of medical devices has long since fallen into disrepair or been stolen.
Ha-ha. Good try. You're going to die. You're going to be fertilizer.
I was really hoping there was like a back tank in there we could take advantage of.
There's not. Actually, you know what? There is a back to tank, or at least what you assume was a back to tank. It has clearly been riddled with blaster fire, and whatever bacta would have been inside of it has long since spilled out and evaporated.
All right, I'm just gonna look at.
So Crate. There's a tube you can stand in if you like.
You're seeing all these blasters in a Jedi place. I'm just looking at him and I'm giving him the fuh face. Like, what happened down here?
Nothing blasters good. In the Jedi. Why?
Can't you just, like, use the Force and see what happened? Like, piece it together?
Yeah, let me make that use the Force check. That's not how the Force works. That may be how the Force works. I don't know.
You get the idea that even if it was something you could do here in this area, feeling that repression of your capability, it's you wouldn't be able to do it. Not here.
Let's press on. Might as well just press on.
Yeah, let's. What's in this other? The other blast door to the side here.
It is locked.
Harani.
Is it locked? I'm going. Jeez. Harani holds her finger.
Again, with no power, everything is locked because the doors are all powered by power. They all need power to move. So
Harani's fingers hurt from typing so much.
They don't have the power.
All right, power to the players.
You can just re-roll that every time. It has that option.
Power to the players.
Keep rolling progressively worse.
Yeah, because I'm getting tired.
That one in particular. The dye color. It's that hint of bleach and chemicals in the air. It's really messing with you to the point that when it's all said and done, you just eventually, it's like you can't see straight and you have to step back for a second. You don't manage to get this particular door open.
Can't you just I step back, kind of rub my eyes a little bit and just, Craig, can't you just use the lightsaber and like a tuna can?
Tuna can.
Ready.
Oh wait, I forgot your
it's all tuna.
The doors are made out of other stuff.
Yeah, your Jedi
Beskar.
Your Jedi temples are anti-Jedi for some reason.
Or presumably Beskar.
I could try to do a mechanic check. Let me see your data pad.
You can try that.
I feel like that would be like handing a toddler the flight stick to an X-Wing and go, here you go.
I'll try spinning. That's a good trick.
Now this is pod racing. All right, take it. Go for it.
Oh.
Go for it. Everybody, let's see how well Kraid does.
Not too good.
No. No.
Graz.
What made... I was going to say what made sense to Hirani does not make sense to you. As a matter of fact, you see now that she's been typing in real all this time in the Twi'lek language. And you go, yes, of course I know how to... I don't know how to speak this. I don't know what this says.
I keep it real. What can I tell you? I'm going to look at Graz. Like, Graz, you know a little bit about mechanics, don't you?
Oh, does he? That's a good question. Oh, that's his token. That's not
no. If I remember correctly, no.
Yeah, I don't think he's very good at mechanics. I'm pretty sure pilot is his real skill.
Yeah.
Graz is the one who keeps just burning random scorch marks into the ship because he thinks he's getting something done.
And no one's tells him otherwise.
His mechanics is a +2. Well, yeah, you let the Wookiee win.
What about you, Iris? Any mechanics skill?
Not any better than a little more than what Kraid has, but not by much.
What's yours?
Give her a shot.
I mean, I can try it.
Yeah, just take it. You know what? I'm handing these data pads out like candy. Go for it.
I mean, I can't.
You're just passing yours around, basically.
Oh, okay. Yeah. But if
you don't have to hand out individual ones.
But if you drop it, it's 10 to the chest. That's the rules. That's the old high school rules.
Is that how that works? Yeah. Yeah, you, I got nothing clever. You just don't do it. It doesn't work. Nope. You don't do it. Nope.
Gotta let Graz try.
Of Intel.
If Graz tries, what Graz is gonna do is put his little Wookiee fingers in between each one of those doors and start pulling outward and just see what happens. You want him to make a strength check and try to break it open?
I kind of do, but yeah.
Yep, here we go.
The crowd wants more Graz.
Oh.
He can't do it. He gets frustrated with you guys trying to do this, so he starts trying to pull it apart, but it's just way too much, and eventually you hear rrr, 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 and he backs up.
It's the SNL.
Ryan, why don't you just use a force point?
It's the SNL skill, or the SNL skit with Big Joe. He can't do it. Big Joe can't do it.
Come on, Big Joe.
I can't do it. You want me to use a force point?
Yeah.
Can we count that onto my 18 that I rolled earlier? Do I need to roll again?
Yeah, I shouldn't let you, but I will. It's fine.
Let me change it because I'm burning through force points so quickly down here.
I roll better.
Did you just say roll better?
I said no such thing.
Oh, we're breaking down like fractions. Not even 20 minutes in.
Oh,
that's good.
Oh, wait, no. I rolled the wrong thing.
That's not... No.
Yeah, my bad.
No. Yeah, you just need a D6.
My bad.
You rolled an 18 already. You just got to add a 6. Are you kidding
me? Oh, no!
Good job.
No.
Pick a different way to go.
Yeah, no. No matter what you do, just... Something is not working.
We don't want
all your tricks are not working.
Yeah, pick a different door, Kraid.
Okay, let's leave this room.
Okay. You are now... You're no longer being poisoned by the bleach smell.
I spit at it before I left.
Let's,
Michaela, don't make fun of me.
Okay, let's work our way down to the right. What's this underground park area?
The park? Yeah, yeah, you can. You're wanting to enter from the right entrance instead of the left one, is what you're saying?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So you make your way down the hallway, glow rod sabers all up, so you can see what's going on as you move around. This open chamber has a literally just a couple of open doors as you come into it. You can see that there is a bridge that runs over the center of it over a clear what normally would be a nice, clear, soothing stream. This is what you've seen. You gather covered by that plexiglass in the floor and all the other areas. It's open air here. There's a large pond that runs off to the side of it there. There's kind of an artistic elevation there made of simple mud and rock around it. As nice as all of that looks, the dead vegetation kind of takes it back a step. It's a little disharmonious and everything else that's ongoing. And then the dead bodies really don't help at all. Much like above in the library, there are just piled bodies. What's strange about these, though, is whereas before, after getting a good look at them, you could tell, oh, these were, there was a standoff here and these guys all ended up dead. These are almost meticulously stacked away. Now, we're not talking Lincoln logs, don't get me wrong here, but they're definitely piled up in such a way, and it's once again every race, creed, and color of person, but they are decidedly dead, and eventually the funk starts to get to you as well. The scent wafts over you.
I'm covering my mouth and I'm looking at Craig. Take that lightsaber, start chopping heads off before they wake up.
I feel like that'd give me a dark side point for desecrating the dead.
Hold on.
If they're not undead.
All right, now do it.
No. what was I coming to? I was coming to check something.
Well, check it fast.
Can I use my perception? I want to kind of see what might have caused the death of these, if these were blaster deaths or lightsaber or anything else.
Okay. Yeah, I make a perception check.
And there's a calming yellow.
They're not rotted enough that you can tell.
Calming yellow light as he's perceiving things. And don't roll a one.
How about a 16?
I don't know. Is that what you rolled? Because my screen hasn't refreshed.
Yeah, there I was going to say it hadn't updated.
It hasn't gone yet.
You get a 16 total?
Yeah.
What's interesting to you is that in looking for causes of death, you remember that scene from Men in Black where the medical inspector is having Jay feel around, you know, heart, liver, lungs, and he's like, yep, you know, all intact. And she's like, they're not there. There's nothing there. That kind of happens to you all at once. You're looking over again, you know, dead bodies. There doesn't appear to be any cause of death. There's no puncture wounds. There's no carbon scoring. Yeah, no blaster wounds, no puncture wounds, nothing. And these are, as best you can tell, though they're various, again, races and species and such, relatively young, I mean, seemingly decently healthy people, and yet there's 15, 20, the longer you go, the more the number goes up, of them just laid about in this sort of ritualistic kind of pile. But there is no apparent cause of death. They are dead. There is no question about that.
But are they dead?
The dead actually died.
Yeah. Yeah, you can tell, having encountered the other reanimated ones, none of these are missing eyes. There's no, you know, faintly glowing parasites around or anything like that. They're just dead.
So it's a stupid question, but is there any skill that we could use to try to figure out how they died? Or would we have to do like a literal autopsy or something? Like, is there any way that I can, because I've got treat injury, I also have that skill where I can use any skill to, you know, whatever.
Yeah, I forget how that works.
Physical science?
Let me look at, I'm going to say it's going to be a knowledge check of some kind. How did I get past, those are feats. That's where I'm screwing up. Yeah, it's going to be a knowledge check of some variety. I think Lindsay said, like, there's a physical science thing of some kind. I feel like that's the closest thing it's going to be. No, life sciences. Yeah, life sciences would be forensics. I'd say that's the closest thing you're going to get to. And, yeah, you're going to have to do some cutting and really just getting in on them.
I'm not going to do that. So let's move on.
It's up to you. I just, that's where it's going to fall.
There is
I
no
can cut them.
Is a plus.
Okay, let's do it. Craig, you cut. And you cut. Iris, you open and pull, and I'll look. How about that?
Fine. Gross, but fine.
Look, you're a Bothan. I assume you're used to doing dirty things. I am of a higher class, so I don't want to touch that.
Keep your eyes open well.
I have big eyes.
Don't puke in it.
Hunter is now shaking his head and thinking, like, this literally will help nothing. You guys are wasting everyone's time.
you don't know that.
All right, so...
No, I was shaking my head because you said well in the same way that Mr. Burns says synagogue.
All right, so if it's a knowledge check, I guess I've got a plus four in, like, all... I don't know. What is that? I've got
basic knowledge, yeah. Yeah, your educated talent gives you... You can make knowledge checks untrained. So you don't have to be trained in life sciences for this.
Okay, here we go, guys. Let's do it.
You better roll good.
That's a good roll. That's a good roll. That's a pretty good roll. That's almost the best roll it could have been.
So you set up like a couple of samples. It dawns on you, okay, if we're going to look for causes of death, we can't just go on one, right? We got to have a couple of different examples. So you pull a couple different species. You pull a Rhodian. You pull a Duros out of the pile. And you go straight for the chest just to see, okay, internal organs, is that the issue? Because that would be the most obvious thing, right? It takes a little bit. There's a little, you know, fine cutting work and stuff involved. You got to get your hands a little dirty, but eventually you have three splayed open victims in front of you. And what catches your attention immediately is that of the three of them, organ-wise, what little you know about the internal workings of these types of different species, what either is their heart or what substitutes for their heart, literally looks like it has fingerprints in it. Like it has been gripped and squeezed, and it retained that shape after the fact.
So Harani looks in their chest, sees this, turns around to Kraid, Iris, and Graz, and before she can say anything, she throws up right in front of them.
Fair.
Wipes her mouth and says, their hearts were crushed. And then she just walks away. Just walks away and lets them look.
This isn't good.
Just get crushed.
There's only one way this could have happened.
Hold on. Just off in the distance. Okay. We're good now.
Clean it up.
No. No. Okay.
Okay, that was great.
That was good. All right. Proud of that one. All right,
okay,
so
let's get out of this room.
Yeah, let's march on. Now that we know we're up against the guy from Indiana Jones.
Where do you want to go?
Oh, God.
I knew you were going to ask that.
Let's go back out the door we came in and start heading south.
Okay.
When we get to the crossroads there on the south end, let's hang a right.
Okay.
Let's check that first room there. I'm going to start checking all those rooms leading up.
I'll see you at the crossroads, so you won't be lonely.
There's like a line pointing to it, and there's no symbol or anything in it. It looks blank.
Yes.
Okay. I thought that was the one you were talking about, but I just wanted to make sure.
Yeah, is it?
Okay.
All right, Ronnie. Let's get this one.
I think we're safe because Lindsay is clearly transformed into a being of pure energy.
It's because I keep looking down and I'm too close to the monitor and it and the other light. I'm sorry. I'm coloring, okay? See? This is what I do while we play.
Look at that. All right. Secrets untold.
Everybody knows this.
Yeah, but now they can see it.
Wouldn't secrets untold be made secret again?
Yeah, look, I didn't get it right. That's just the answer.
The longer it goes, the worse it gets.
English number one.
I'd like to just back out, please.
I'm not having any fun. I'm just going to back out. I'm just going to
back out. Yes, we know. You said it.
Okay, so yeah, there is a blast door. It's locked. Hardcore. 14th verse, same as the first. Why did you, Shannon, why did you look at him like he was on the Brady Bunch? He said something, you looked directly at his camera.
Oh. Hold on, Tanner. Tanner,
why would you say that to him?
Tanner, you keep looking that way, and I'll look over real quick, okay?
Hollywood Squares.
You look over at me, and I'll look over at you. This.
What?
Okay. Tanner, no, the other...
On Discord, they're totally different, so you guys are looking completely the wrong direction.
Let's just move on with the game, please.
Please, let's. Can we
please just move on with the game?
Can we? The door's locked. Yeah.
Harani, open the door.
Okay, friends, let me get this door open real quick. There.
Yeah, that's good enough.
Thank you.
You plug into the door again. This one's less of an issue than the one prior for whatever reason. And eventually you manage to, open the wrong thing. You manage to get the door to whoosh open as they do. The moment the door opens, there is a burnt red blur that flashes in front of the door. It's like the flash of a lightsaber, but it's not. And I guess who would be in the front? It had to be Harani, because you're right there at the door.
Oh, no.
Harani, you feel this slice right... Something slice, literally, the air, like, right in front of you. You feel like it almost sliced your face directly off. A lightsaber, though, this is not. And your attacker is no Sith, or at least not as you might know them. As you open the door, crouched in front of you, like, right in the path of the doorway, is about 6 feet of quadrupedal ravenous instinct. This is I'll just show you what it looks like. I'll post it in here. Let me do this. I got character sheets open. That's not what I want.
And then I will show it to the crowd.
It looks like that.
Looking creature.
It looks like Kraid. It looks like this.
Kraid, you recognize this immediately. This Crimson Predator is a Night Hunter. And it is believed to be as extinct as the Jedi. So for a second, there's a part of you that thinks this might be a good open in a way. Until it bellows out this spine-tingling howl and jumps toward the party. And with that, I'm going to need some initiative rolls.
I'm already looking for my sheet to see what my initiative. Okay. Nope. Subtract one from that. I accidentally put a 3 instead of a 2.
Okay, so hey, Ronnie, you got a 14?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
I know, Michaela. I'm scared, too.
Oh. Well, the good news is I always roll for Graz first, so thank God. Graz is going first.
I was
going
to ask you about that.
I just got a 13. And then I need one more for the Night Hunter.
Till the night closes in.
Is there just one of these?
Alrighty.
That we can see.
Yeah. Actually, that's a good way to put it. A better way of describing it, just to give you some fuller detail on it, the hide on it is like, it's this blood red color that you're seeing there. It looks like it might be blaster resistant. Big anterior claws are raking at the floor in tandem with its hind paws. The sound of this hurts your ears. It's loud enough in that it hurts before it even bellows out. It's got 5 immense fangs that are jutting out over both of its lips, almost concealing its face except for 2 very tiny but hungry eyes. This whip-like tail that dances around like it's preparing to strike on its own. And in what is a relatively confined space, this thing you realize has a pretty good chance of ripping you up if it gets in too close. just give you an idea of what the room looks like. There we go. Bring that out. I'm putting that into the Roll20 window. There we go. All right. And you guys would be coming in. Some tokens. To resize them all.
I guess we're going to find out if it's blaster resistant.
I guess we're going to find out if there's life after death. Hunter, Michaela wants to know, is it slow or fast? I have a feeling I know the answer.
It is very fast. It is moving at breakneck pace here. Yeah. Yeah, it's moving quick. I'm going to move them around. You guys would have come in right approximately here. And I'm just going to put you in the order that normally you're in. If that changes or if you want it to change, let me know. I didn't ask for it in advance, so we're just kind of working with what we got. And there's Iris.
Iris, nay. I'm still Grom.
Now, is that Grom in the throes of pain because his friend is dead, or is that Grom literally watching paint dry? There's no way to know. The trick is there's no way to know.
I'll tell you what, though. You
couldn't possibly know.
My day is never complete until I hear you doing J.K. Simmons as...
What do you think Grom will do now that old Bainlin is dead? I have no idea why.
It's so scarily accurate. Like,
it's the S. I finally figured out what do you think Grom will do now that old Bainlin is dead? It's the he does his S's in a weird way, and I don't know what it is, but that's what it is.
Solid performance. That's why it works. Solid performance, yeah.
Thank you. I do what I can. I did get paid for that at least once, so.
He leaves power. Good.
I leave power. Good. Okay. So I got initiative order. We got a map. You know what you're looking at. The rest of the room, as best you can tell right now, is just filled with random crates and such. What does catch your attention right behind the Night Hunter there to your, I guess it would be roughly to your right. There is a large, like, cage-like thing. And there is a male Twi'lek inside who is kneeling and facing the ground. He does not react to anything that is ongoing at the moment. We'll come back to him later. We're going to start with Graz, because he's first in the lineup. Graz is first in the lineup, and Graz is going to pull that vibro axe of his, and he's already raged, so I can't do that again. I did give up his extra rage, but he's immediately going to take a swing at this thing. Ooh, that's not going to be a good enough for hit, I don't think. No, even at a plus 10. Graz is also out of force points, so he is not going to be able to use a force point to attack. But he is, rather than moving, because he wants to try to hold the line here, he's going to enact his harm's way, his swift action, on Hirani. So Hirani, if this thing, or anyone else, I guess, attacks you between now and the beginning of his next turn, he takes the damage for that.
Okay.
That's it for Graz. Next in the order is Kraid with a 22.
I'm going to take a swing on my lightsaber.
Okay.
Pause for attack.
So may the will of man come. That song stuck in my head.
Yes.
Yes.
I don't think so.
19
hits. Give me some damage.
12
There it is. That roll takes forever when 12. It does that. Okay. You can tell that your saber is getting through to this thing a lot stronger than probably other weaponry would. Again, the hide looks blast resistant, but that does not impede your lightsaber at all. And that damage goes straight on through any resistance it may have had. It is not dead, for the record, but it is hurting. Anything else?
I'm gonna look at my teammates and tell them to make sure they try to aim for the injury I just caused.
Okay, yeah. They could do that with a called shot. We'll say you sliced it along the side and it now has an obvious wound.
Okay, and I would like to take a step back and be standing beside Iris.
Back to here?
Yeah.
Okay. And then you've got a swift action left. You attacked and you used your move.
I'm good. That's it.
Okay. That's going to leave it up next, for the record. So it is next in the initiative order with a 19. Let's see. Technically, it could hit anybody. So we're going to give it some options. Although you did just hit it, I'm tempted to have it just go straight after you, but it would have to disengage. Well, no, it wouldn't have to disengage from Graz. Yeah, actually, that's what it's going to do. Going to move up one, but Crate, it's attacking at you. This thing, again, is whipping about its tail, claws, it's biting and snarling. It looks like it is going to attempt to basically swing with both of its claws at you and try to get a double attack, which is going to cost it the ability to do some, but maybe give it some additional damage. What's your reflex?
20.
That's what I was thinking. The first claw attack is a miss. The second one, however, is a hit. And you'll take... pause for roll.
Yeah, those
10 damage.
Those 3D dice are cool, but sometimes
3D dice take a little while. 10 damage. Crate, it lunges at you with one claw, it feints you with the one, and then with the other, it is able to get you right in place and just bats you right across the chest, slashes through your robes. And then it is going to move, now that it's got a successful hit, it's going to move 1, 2, 3 down to here, which means it's disengaging from everybody but Crade, which means everyone else gets an additional attack of opportunity on it. If you choose to take it.
I will.
Graz is definitely going to take it.
Yes, I will also.
Okay. Graz is going to hit.
What, I forget, what, is that just a 1d20? Is that all it is?
It's a standard attack, yeah. Whatever okay. Your regular attack would be. It's the same deal.
I think it's a +4, right? +5. Okay. Lindsay, did you roll already?
No, not yet. I was waiting for you.
Okay. Old Pinky. 24.
That's a hit.
Waiting for rolls.
It's like we're at Cracker Barrel. So all three of us hit.
Yes. Yeah, you two need to roll damage.
Oh, yes, yes.
Grass rolls 14 damage.
Yeah. Yeah, rolled 14 damage, and he heard your... call, basically, Crate. So he as this thing turns, it opens that wound right up toward him, and he slashes right into it, deepening it.
All right, here's me.
15.
Okay. Hirani, your blaster bolt definitely strikes the target. It hits it. But it's not like the bolt bounces off. It's almost like you can see it just absorbing the impact.
Uh-oh.
And you get the idea that it deals no damage to it.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Iris, same for you. That hit connects. Actually, no, I'm sorry. You did deal 1 point of damage.
Awesome.
That hit connects, you know, what would have been normally 16 points of damage. It connects, but you can tell that that whatever that hide is that it has, it is definitely dampening a lot of those energy type shots. And so it is not as damaged as it could have been otherwise. Okay. That is the end of its turn because it attacked and moved. Those were attacks of opportunity, which means that it is time for Ronnie. You're at a 14 on the initial order.
I guess I'm going to take a shot at... you mentioned the called shot earlier. What's the penalty for a called shot if I wanted to shoot him in his weak
corner? -5. -5 to hit a called shot.
I'm going to do that because I feel like just shooting at it normally isn't going to do any damage anyway.
Okay. I'm going to make a strong recommendation to you to not shoot from your current location because you're shooting through a bunch of allies.
I thought you couldn't hit allies.
Well, you can if you roll a nat 1.
Oh, God. Yeah, you're right about that. Okay. And with my luck...
Yeah, we learned that the hard way, remember? I mean...
I'll put a blaster bolt right through everybody. I don't even care. I'm crazy. Can I move down 1?
Yes.
Yep. Okay. All right. I'm gonna do right that there. And then take my shot here.
Okay.
And you said it's a minus.
You have line of sight regardless, but sorry. Go ahead.
You said it's a -5.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's just a 1d20. I get no bonus on it. Come on, baby. Come on, baby.
Oh. That is just shy of a hit.
Hunter, I would like to use a force point.
Okay. That is something you can do. I'll put you down to 2.
Yeah, it's something I need to stop doing, but there's a good chance we're all
going
to...
Roll that force point.
We're going to die down in here anyway, so... It's that Resident Evil. It's that Resident Evil scene. You're all going to die down here. Don't
you're never going to make it out.
Don't be a 1. Whatever you are.
Just somebody's going to find the coder years later.
Oh, it's just... a 2!
That's a hit.
It still angers me, though. All right.
That is a hit. Roll that damage.
I was about to... Okay, so I just typed it into the Facebook chat, not this. Jeez.
tell them the people what the damage is.
Just so they know. That was worthless?
7 damage. No, but it wasn't. But this thing has definitely taken a pretty significant chunk of its health down at this point. It's howling in pain, and it's loud and painful to hear. But it is not dead.
He needs to shut up.
You got a swift action left.
No. I'm good.
Okay, Iris, you're up. Pause for Lindsay.
Oh, no.
Pause for Lindsay.
Did it really get to right when it's her turn, and then it decides to...
Her video cut out, yeah. That's bad.
It was doing so well, too. Like...
It was.
She didn't have a single problem. It'll probably pop back in here in just a second, but it's just very frustrating. So let's just fill time for a few seconds. What did you think?
There it is. Hey.
Oh, okay.
She's back.
Lindsay, can you hear us?
I don't know if she can hear us, but she's back.
I can hear you, yes.
Okay, good.
Except my, well, hang on. I'm getting, you have been disconnected warnings over the internet. Hang on.
Clearly you haven't.
Okay, I think I'm okay.
For the record, warnings over the internet was the name of my ska album in my sophomore year of college. Yes.
Okay.
Warnings over the internet.
So yeah, the last thing
it's your turn was, for the record.
Yeah. Okay. so I am going to move diagonally right, so I'm below Kraid.
Okay.
And I'm going to also do the called shot to try and shoot this where Kraid ripped it up.
Okay. I'm going to make a suggestion and move you actually just one step down. Because there you would be adjacent to it, and you're making a ranged attack in melee range, which means it would get an attack of opportunity on you.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Yes, much better. Okay. And then since it's a -5 and I usually have a +8, I'm just going to roll the +3 on it.
That works.
That makes not sense. Enough. Makes a lot of nonsense.
I don't know why it just did that twice.
There it goes. Yeah, no, 14 is unfortunately not enough for a hit.
You could use a force point.
You could.
Yeah, we'll give it a go.
You're gonna do better than me. I know it.
Put you at three.
I mean, it would be nice, but I'm not gonna hold my breath.
You're gonna get a six here. Watch this. Close enough.
That's a hit.
Five.
There you go.
That's a hit. Roll that beautiful damage.
And look for Spider-Man. I can't do it. I can't do it.
He doesn't want to be famous. I'll make him infamous.
Those are not big numbers.
Yeah, I had the same
thing. But that's a big enough number to do what you needed it to do. You take a direct shot at that open wound, and that basically you pour a couple of them directly into it. I'm just going to flavor it as multiple shots. You fire directly into it, and you hear it howling and howling to the point that you're actually pushing it back against the crates, and then it collapses into those crates behind it, and it is dead.
Oh, that's a pleasant surprise.
Yeah. As best you can tell, there do not appear to be any enemies in the immediate vicinity. Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, just you did this weird thing as you moved your hand up like that, Lindsay's camera came back on. So it almost looked like you turned it back on with your will.
I wasn't looking at mine, so I didn't even realize I did that until after the fact.
So I was trying to see if
the force.
Redoing my video.
I had to tap into Grogu. He's right there.
Meanwhile,
borrow him.
Meanwhile, Tanner's getting the intergalactic space van ready with the windows darkened.
Okay.
Not like we're hosting an intergalactic kegger down here, you know.
Zed. So,
yes.
Can I use some kind of? Can I use my perception just to get a feel for the room? I'm curious about this Twi'lek in the cage, whatever this is.
Yeah, you don't need perception for that. Give me just a second, and I'll tell you what you see. Unless you're like hunting for something specific, if you're just wanting to look around the room, that's something you can do without any.
I mean, I could hunt for something specific.
Specifics. Well, yeah, but yeah, you probably want to know what the room looks like in general before you do that. Right? Okay.
Sure. Yeah.
So anyway, the door behind you is completely wide open now. From the inside, you can see that there's burn damage all along the entrance. That has caused damage to some of the mechanics there. There's a pulsating glow that is now starting to kind of lighten up the room itself. You notice that it's not just your glow rods and your saber and stuff. That area in the center is this sort of spherical cage, like a prison type cage. It's an energy cage. It doesn't appear to be made of anything solid, and it is floating on some repulsor lifts that keep it up off the ground. The glow is coming from the sort of force field that's created by these bars of energy that surrounds this little portable prison. And inside the bars, again, you see this kind of crumpled humanoid form. It's definitely now you can see a Twi'lek. As you finish up this fight and you turn your attention toward him, I don't like when I hear things in the Discord. I don't know. Oh, okay. he looks up toward you, and you can see in his eyes this look of just despair. He doesn't look like someone who may have just potentially been rescued. The moment, as a matter of fact, that he recognizes that he's met your gaze of any of you, he looks away. It's almost like he's saying, you know, just leave me. Leave me alone. Elsewhere in the room, there is a thick plasteel table. There's traces of some sort of black substance all over it, and a Jedi robe that is sprawled across it. You can see now that the guy inside, the Twi'lek inside the cage, is wearing what look like Jedi-style garments, but he does not have a robe, so it's reasonable to assume this might be his. He is in bad shape. He's mostly emaciated. He has burns and cuts all about him. And again, he's in pretty bad shape. Kraid, you in particular would recognize this as a universal energy cage. Okay. This is something that is specifically built to contain the powers of a force user. Okay. prisoners within the cage can use the force at very low levels, but nothing that they cannot manipulate anything outside the cage itself. Also, these things, you would know are typically controlled remotely. So there's not going to be something in the immediate area likely that would allow you to turn it off unless the remote control for it is there. Yeah, basically that's it. As far as the rest of the room goes, there's nothing of real interest. Groz turns around so that he can see, and 7A responds that he does not know. And as a matter of fact, all he can say is that he was not a member of this academy during its heyday.
Crate, do you feel anything from him?
He is not.
Crate ain't here, is he?
I don't think so.
I don't think so.
We lost Lindsay too.
There he is. Well, Crate's right. Back. We swap him out occasionally.
Yeah.
Crate, do you get a sense from this thing? Do you know what this guy, who this guy is? Can you use the force to find out?
Well, what I'm curious about is whether or not this is something in this room is what's causing my force powers to be dampened.
You can make a use the force check for that.
Slow roll. Take it easy.
15. Yeah, I mean, you can tell that it's not anything specific to this room. It feels like there's a repressing energy all around. You don't feel it any more strong, more or less strongly than you did before you entered the room.
Am I feeling anything off of this toilet in the cage?
No, but you very much get the idea that that's because of the cage itself, that the cage is repressing his capability, if he has, you know, a force capability, such that I can't think of the term. It'd be like if you were looking at someone through something like a thermal scope or something, like he's like cold. Yeah.
So we need to break this cage.
I try to cut it open with my lightsaber.
You want to try that?
Sure.
Okay. I'm not going to make you make an attack. It's not moving. It's not going to try to do anything like that. Let's see. Basically, you just need to roll damage. I'm just going to say you hit it. And just roll damage.
14
damage?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Your saber rebounds off of it rather than actually cutting into it. And when that happens, you see that the energy itself, it's almost like where you struck, it fires that energy into the cage, which strikes the guy inside. He's going to take...
No!
Oh, it's done. It's been brought in.
Yikes.
Okay, so don't hit it with a lightsaber anymore, is what I'm gathering.
He takes 6 points of damage, of stun damage, and he yelps out in pain as this happens. But as the shock subsides, he doesn't look to you, he doesn't react in any other way, he just looks back down and sort of crumples back to the floor.
I'm going to yell at him, how do we get you out of here? Any response?
He, without looking back toward you, effectively just says, you don't. You leave me here. And you leave this place.
As a fellow Jedi, I cannot just leave you here.
Hang on, I'm going to step away for just a second and let you guys talk this out.
Okay. Okay. You and I are talking through the Force in our heads.
You hit the cage he's in, because I didn't get to hear any of it.
Yeah, he hit the cage, and that did stun damage to Mr. Man. So okay. That's not
what I was getting, but I wanted confirmation.
So how do we get him out of the cage, Crate?
Figure out some way to deactivate the thing. It's the only thing, I guess.
Or you do what he says and we leave him there.
As a Jedi who is possibly one of the last Jedi in the world, besides Master Denia. I feel like it's my responsibility to make sure that we get this person out of here.
But if he says you leave him there...
That's because Jedi are usually selfless people, you know, but I can't
bring except myself you.
To do that.
Except you.
I'm willing to sacrifice myself to make sure this Jedi survives, so...
Touche, salesman.
Okay.
We came up with nothing, just for the record.
It's okay.
Other than trying to find a way to deactivate this thing.
Yeah.
In terms of Kraid telling him that he can't leave him there, because especially at the mention of him being a Jedi, this Twi'lek scoffs and says, "The Jedi are dead."
Obviously not. I am not dead, and you are not dead.
I want to ask him in Twi'lek, you know, is there nothing we can do to help you? In real.
He responds back in the same language. No. And then in basic, he says, "And for the rest of you, the answer is no. There is nothing more to be done here. I don't know who you are. I don't know why you came here. But you should leave this place and leave quickly."
We can't leave without the holocron.
He lets out a laugh, but it's not... there's no mirth behind it. There's no joy in this laugh. And he says, "If you go after the Inquisitor, you're as good as dead."
I'm sorry, did he say Inquisitor, Kraid? That doesn't sound good.
For me,
That sounds good for you?
No, it doesn't sound good for me.
How does it sound good for any of us? I'm gonna slip back.
They tend to dislike Jedi a bit more.
I'm gonna slip back into the darkness just because of that.
For the record, if you want to get somebody to talk, persuasion is usually a pretty good way of going about it.
I'll use persuasion because I'm the most persuasive, and I can speak to him in his own language, so maybe that'll help a little bit. And I want to ask him about the Inquisitor. Who is the Inquisitor? Why does he have the holocron? And is he the one that put him in the cage?
If you fail, I have an idea.
I'm like
when you fail, I have an idea.
I'm like Goro in Mortal Kombat. I do not fail.
Oh, he said when.
Yeah, let's check the dark side points, see where we both are. Hunter likes this. He likes it when we turn on each other, just for the record.
It's a 24.
It's hard to fail when you have an 18 bonus, damn.
Yeah, but I damn sure tried.
So, eventually, through kind of just prompting and discussing, I mean, he sits up and he kind of takes that sort of Jedi sitting stance. But there's, again, it's not like the will to go on has returned to him. He starts to reveal a couple of things and basically explains to you that he is, or was, a Jedi master by the name of Vin Thorla. He says he studied at a temple on Coruscant. He was a skilled duelist at one point in time. And he took on a Padawan, like anyone would. And as this begins, you realize this is not what we asked. You know, why is he going on about this? He doesn't say anything about an Inquisitor. He keeps on telling his story. He says, you know, about a year before the Clone War started, my Padawan and I were sent to investigate some pirates in the Mid-Rim. And about 2 months later, the organization was dismantled. But I lost my Padawan in the process. This Padawan was killed. And he says, and I blamed myself for his death. So I exiled myself back to Ryloth. And he kind of, in your direction, Hirani, you know, that's the home planet of the Twi'leks. He says he was seeking solitude there, but eventually found a new purpose. A few months into the Clone Wars, another master sent envoys to Ryloth to invite Venthorla to join them at the Almas Academy. As the master of lightsabers, he would be the dueling specialist. And he eventually accepted. He had done a lot of good on Ryloth in the process and had freed lots of Twi'lek prisoners from slavers and had formed a whole community called the Enclave and lots of things. So he accepted with the idea that he would have someone to take over where he was leaving off, but increased attacks from the people he had fought back against forced him to delay his visit. And before he made it to Almas Academy, Order 66 came. And he felt the death of the Jedi through the Force. He moved the Enclave to a more secure location. But after 2 long years, he had to risk exposure to find out what was happening out there. And what he found out was disgusting to him. So he decided to make his way to Almas to see what happened there. And he had recruited a new Padawan. What he found is what you found, a demolished academy at the heart of a ghost town. He probed the ruins, wound his way down to the deepest sublevel where he knew the archives were located, and fate was not on his side. He says this Inquisitor, Draco, arrived shortly after that. We dueled. But his lapdog held my Padawan hostage and induced a rage into him, forcing him to attack me. Thorla describes this fight. You can almost see it playing out. He's fending off his Padawan the whole time. Draco and his lapdog, as he described him, threatened to turn the boy to the dark side if he refuses to fight. And eventually, he kills his own Padawan, severs him from life and misery. And at that moment, he snaps and is racked with guilt. He says to you specifically, I wish to die. But they had denied me that wish. And he looks around at the cage and says, and I've been held here ever since, meditating on the lost way.
I'm going to try to persuade him again.
Now he turns.
Oh.
Sorry. He says specifically to you, Draco is still here. The holocron is in his possession. And if you go after him, you will die. But it must be better than this.
Well, I was going to tell him, if he's still here, then that means you can still find your redemption. You can make up for the things that have happened. Help us and restore your honor. And then you can die honorably and not be locked in this cage forever.
He says, look at me. And he points to Kraid and says, despite what this pretender would have you believe, the Jedi are dead. There is no reason for me to go on, not with sadistic torturers like Draco running the galaxy.
That's...
Look, I'm sitting here by Master Dinia.
She says he's never heard of her.
She sent us here to get this.
He says, I've never heard of this Master Dinia, and one more Jedi wouldn't make any difference.
Well, what about killing one Inquisitor? Wouldn't that be worth it?
He shrugs noncommittally. This guy, I mean, you can see behind his eyes, he's broken.
I'll tell you what. We get you out of here, you help us finish this job, I'll help you find peace.
I don't think that's going to work, Kraid.
There is no getting me out of here. Draco almost definitely has the control on him.
Fine. Then we will go beat Draco, get the control, free you from here, and then I will kick your ass myself.
So be it.
Where is he?
It was nice knowing you while it lasted.
Yeah.
He tells you that the archives room in the southwest corner of the sublevel has a collapsed area that the rubble should easily be moved such that you can get past it into where Draco is likely making his way even deeper underneath the academy.
What is he hunting for? Do you know?
That I can't say. He has the holocron. He has his lackey.
How long?
I'm not sure what else he could want from here.
How long has he been here? How long have you been here?
He looks around and says, I haven't exactly been scratching tick marks in the wall. Who's to say? Days, weeks. It's all the same.
I'm gonna tap Crate on his shoulder. This is getting us nowhere. We've got to find this Draco and stop him, and we'll come back for this pathetic thing after.
I don't want to leave him here.
Yeah, well, while we're sitting here trying to convince him to want to live, Draco is getting further into something.
My perception to check this room for anything.
Okay. Yeah, make a roll.
While he's rolling that, Lindsay, you still with us?
Barely. I caught maybe a third of what has been hanging going on.
Craig, what exactly are you looking for?
Any way to disconnect the thing, whether I cut through the cables that are connecting it to whatever, anything to help get him out of here.
So there are no cables. It appears to be self-sustaining power of some kind. Again, it's on repulsor lifts that keep it up off the ground. At best, what you can tell based on that role is that what he said is true. This is a universal energy cage. It is remotely controlled. Draco probably has the control on him. That's the only lead you have on that. And that you can certainly try to beat it into submission, but you're going to cause him damage in doing so every single time.
A7, do you know anything about this?
He does not. He is aware of their existence, but he does not know anything about them from a technical standpoint. He's all protocol and knowledge, not mechanics.
Great, let it go. We're wasting our time. We have to stop Draco, then we can come back for this thing.
Thorla actually now looks up as you guys are communicating and says, or you could just give me the only thing I want. Put me out of my misery. You want to break this cage open so bad? Do it.
No. No.
Then you're as much a coward as I expected.
Nope.
You can just see the hamster wheel moving in Tanner's head. He's thinking, okay, if I break it open, if I kill him, it could be a mercy thing. If I deny him his mercy death, I could get a dark side for him. He doesn't know what to do anymore.
He doesn't know.
He doesn't know.
Or if I go ahead and be merciful and kill him, then I don't know.
Yeah, you've got dark side just all over. You stink of it. You stink of the dark side.
You reek. No,
I forgot something in the ship. I'll be right back.
Let's go after Malfoy. Let's do this.
Draco Malfoy.
And then we can come back and free him and take him back to Master Juana Jedi. And then
No.
Okay. No. All right.
No, Mr. Jedi. Sorry.
So you guys make your way. So basically the plan is you want to head to the area he described, right?
Yes.
Yes.
As you're leaving the room where Thorla is held, he does call out, and this is the loudest he's made his voice go to this point. I hope for your sake you're taking my advice and leaving. If not, I suppose I'll see you again one way or another soon.
Harani's going to do the space middle finger as she walks away and says, yeah, we'll see you soon.
Okay.
Which I assume is just a middle finger. I assume that's intergalactic.
Yeah, I don't think it changes.
Okay.
Yeah, as long as you have a middle finger to show, I think that's how that works.
Yeah.
So you guys make your way to what he described as the archives room, and I'll give you one guess about the door.
I'm on it. You ain't got to tell me nothing else.
You ain't got to say nothing else, boss.
Tanner, I'm going to need you to pray on this one.
Tanner.
Oh, son of a bitch.
Is he just not praying on it, or can he not hear you?
No, he's
ignoring. Oh, he said no. Okay.
He can't hear me over the loudness of that shirt. All right.
I thought you were going to say it was mustache.
I was, but I'm like, let's leave Pete alone. All right, here we go.
Pete.
Hope you're right. Oh, yeah.
There it is. Good Lord. There it is.
Yeah.
Doubt my powers.
Yeah, it takes not much at all for you to... You've messed around with these doors long enough that this one's not particularly interesting, for lack of a better term, I guess I should say. It doesn't take much for you to get through. Pretty quickly, you find yourselves in a really long room. It's far more long than it is wide. Chambers fork to the right about 30, 40 feet in. Leaning up against the smooth walls, there are cases that contain what look like a fascinating and rare, you know, artifacts and weapons, things that would be of interest to the Jedi. It seems surprising that most of them look untouched until you get a closer look and see that these are probably mostly facsimiles. These are just meant to be representative of things like that, but not actual artifacts. Most glaringly in the room, the far wall and the floor have crumbled away. There's a big cavernous opening, and behind it, as best you can tell, is a dark tunnel. This obviously was not part of the room's original design. It looks like it is a consequence of that orbital bombardment.
So we need to get through this to get to Draco. So, Crade, how do we get through this?
I guess we either dig through it or... Can I use the Force to move anything?
Oh, the entrance. The entrance is not nearly as blocked as Thorilla described it, for the record. It's open enough that you can basically just walk through.
Oh, let's do that.
Yeah, that's something that takes next to no difficulty in this case. As you make your way across the room and get to the opening in the far wall, you can see that the crumbled floor and the wall itself have, as described, revealed a tunnel, basically. It slopes downward, but it is utterly dark. From where you are, it's almost unnaturally dark at this point, and the ground itself is made slippery. You can see there's a sheen on it. That natural spring that runs across the second sublevel of the academy is now spilling out over it. So basically, it's like a mini waterfall. Like you would be sliding down the rock to make your way down there. Or if you don't want to slide, you're gonna have to basically make climb checks to make your way down there comfortably.
The last time I tried to climb check, I almost fell to my death. So, I kind of want to go on the happy fun slide, but I'm also afraid of what that will lead. We should probably just do the climb check.
Completely up to you.
Yeah, let's do the climb check.
All right.
Okay.
Surely I can't do any worse this time. Surely.
I don't know. Don't call me Shirley.
I'm going to go first.
And there goes Lindsay.
I'm going first.
Okay.
Because I know it's going to hurt, and I just want to get the pain over with.
Back.
15.
Okay. Yeah, that's reasonable enough. I hate, by the way, when I say okay and sound like Chad from SNL. Okay. yeah, you're able enough to basically, moving at half speed, you kind of just get yourself laid up against it and use your hand to just kind of guide yourself down. With your light source, you're able to see that it's not as smooth a ride as you would hope for, but eventually you're able to kind of just guide yourself down. It goes down pretty far, farther maybe than you thought it was going to. Eventually, it seems like it's about a 40-foot slide down to the base of the cavernous area there, but you are safe. And Groz is going to follow right along behind you with 7A still attached to him.
Oh no.
Oh, that ain't good. I mean, the good news is that Groz also has a significant bonus to climb, but not good enough for him to not take some damage in doing so. Effectively, as he starts to slide, he hits kind of a bump, and it sends him up a little bit into the air, and so he kind of tumbles all the way to the ground from that point. Ultimately, he's going to take 8 points of damage. But he was pretty far up. He had 98 of his 100 hit points, so he still has 90. Yeah. He tumbles down to the ground. He starts kind of yelping about a bit, but he gets up. It's like he stubbed his toe. He's like limping along. Who's next?
Myself.
Why'd you say it like that?
Myself. Oh.
First point.
That'll bring you to 2.
Tanner, you think that first point's going to really help that much here?
16.
Well, I stand corrected.
Yeah, he gets D8s. Yeah, and that's good enough that, yeah, you feel your footing start to go out from underneath you, and even through the dampening of the forest, you reach out and basically balance yourself and steady yourself to safely make your way to the bottom. Iris?
See what happens. We saw what happened last time I tried to do anything climbing.
Not nearly as bad as Hirani.
Jesus.
Force point?
I'm just going to take the damage.
Okay, that's fair. I understand that. Yeah, you much like Roz hit this bump along the way and lose track of yourself, basically. Not bad. You only take 3 points of damage.
That's pretty good.
You come to a much more sudden stop.
I took like 20 points.
Yeah, you took a lot more than that.
Yeah.
Well, you fell a lot farther too. They weren't really falling so much as they were sliding and kind of losing control. You literally dropped out of thin air. So. Yeah. Okay. You guys reach the bottom of this cavernous area, and you can see that there is, in the darkness ahead of you, this bright red glow. Through your glow rods and Crave, your saber, you can see that there's some sort of humanoid figure not too far away from you, and he actually steps forward. You can see he's got this sort of flowing scarlet red robe around him. And as he steps into view, you recognize that this is someone you have seen before in a message that you received some time ago at the end of one of your previous adventures. Just so you know, he looks like this.
Uh-oh.
He is very clearly the Inquisitor that has been discussed. Draco introduced himself to you, as a matter of fact, when this all came about. The last time that you, well, the first time that you interacted with him, but only in the message. This is the first time you've ever seen him in person. Off to the side, you can see he's flanked by a stern-looking humanoid female. She also has a red lightsaber that is giving that tint off to the surroundings. There's a glint in Draco's eye, and he's kind of got a little smile playing on his lips. It's like he already knows more about you than you know about yourselves. And just behind him, there is an incandescent object that's floating in the air. It looks like it's sort of growing out of this cube that is strapped to Draco's forearm.
Is the holocron strapped to him?
It looks like it. He has it strapped to his left forearm. Jeez. As you step into the chamber, he says one word, Krant, as though it is a question.
Who?
I could have sworn that was where we were going to get the, and that's where we're going to end off tonight.
No, not yet. Craig, do you ask him who?
Yes.
He says, Krant, my companion. Have you come to tell me that my Night Hunter is dead?
I think you're mistaken, my friend. But yes, it's dead.
He says, you know me. I am Valen Draco, and like you, I once thought myself a hero. During the Clone Wars, the brave men and women that I commanded called me the Valiant Dragon. We fought in conflicts for a corrupt republic, but after I was left for dead on the battlefield, flattering titles lost all their meaning for me. These are dark times, and I know you've suffered great losses. You wrestle with the same concerns of virtue and compromise I did as a Jedi, the same concerns that have plagued the conscientious since time immemorial. He puts his hands up almost in a surrendering gesture and says, "Surrender yourselves to the Empire. I promise your treatment will be gentler, and you may even be given a chance to serve me."
Yeah, no, I'm good. Thanks.
Surrender yourselves. And he gestures toward his compatriot and says, "Or face your destiny."
You know what? I'm feeling froggy tonight. So Harani's just going to pull her blaster out and point it at them and say, "Good God, you Jedi talk way too much. You talk too much. You never shut up.
Oh boy, you never shut up.
Enough. Less talk, more shooty."
Yeah, I was going to ask if I could surprise attack here.
When he's staring at you?
I mean, it won't be a surprise. Yeah, he's waiting for an attack. He's anticipating an attack. This would not be a surprise at all.
How close are they to me?
I'm going to say you got 30 feet. Or 30 feet. Like, just enough movement to get to them in one round of combat. 30 feet between you and them.
So 6 squares?
Yeah.
I'm going to use Force Slam.
Okay, well, just for the record, you're not going to be able to do that unless we're starting initiative. That's if we start initiative, you won't be able to attack on your own. You'll have to roll initiative for that attack.
Oh, okay. I didn't know if I could. That's what I'm saying.
No.
I feel like
attacking. No, again, he's anticipating an attack.
I don't know if there's any way to talk our way out of this, but I feel like there's probably not, so let's just get to the part where we kill them. Or die. Because I'm honestly not sure at this point. This place sucks.
So basically, I mean, he asked you a question. Do you intend to respond?
We'll take destiny.
He laughs again, and now he ignites his own saber from that hilt that you see there, and it is scarlet. It's also crackling a bit. And he says, "So be it, Jedi." And that is where we're going to stop for tonight.
Damn it. I knew it. He suckers you in. That's what he does.
That's right.
He gets you.
I was all into it. I'm ready to go.
Tanner, that's what we in the biz call the cliffhanger.
That's right.
That is.
Jesus, take the wheel. I was going.
All right, that's where we're gonna stop for tonight, guys. Hey, as always, thank you. Thank you so much. It's what you gotta do. Hey, my garage band ran the entire time, so fingers crossed it sounds good.
Good news, Dalton.
Yeah.
So I'm just gonna say, at one point when I was losing my connection, when it came back, all three of your video feeds, apparently you had each looked in different directions because all three of your screens just went real fast. It was the creepiest thing.
No, that's just what we do. We just move around like crazy. That's what we do. Guys, again, as always, thank you so much for joining us. It's a pleasure to have you here to enjoy the show with us. If you want to chime in and you weren't able to do so during the live feed, remember you can always do so at r/podzilla1985. You can do so there on the Facebook page, even after the fact, at podzilla1985.com. You can go and catch up on all of our previous episodes. We are now officially one installment away from the end of episode 4, Echoes of the Jedi. Next week, we see if our heroes can overcome Inquisitor Draco and his learner, his apprentice.
I don't think we will.
I don't think so.
I can't take him seriously by that picture. He's such a goober.
Well, sometimes.
Yeah, I know the animated picture is not entirely what I wanted. I'll see if I can find a live action version of the guy.
Sometimes the biggest goobers cause the most pain. Wait.
They gonna put that on your tombstone, or is that?
Just cremate me. Fill me with cream. Throw me in a ditch. I don't care. I'm dead.
I knew it was coming. Guys, as always, we will be back again next week. We will finish up episode 4, Echoes of the Jedi of the Dawn of Defiance campaign. Along the course of this week, you got all the great PZ85 goodness. You got After Dark coming your way on Thursday. You guys doing Horse Time Friday? I'm not here for Friday this time.
Yeah, you know, it's
an opening shift.
We like to
happen.
We horse around. We get crazy with it, you know.
All right. So come back for all the good stuff. Catch up with us when you can. Thanks for tuning in tonight. We're going to wrap it up there for myself and for Lindsay, Tanner, and Shannon. Again, I am your Game Master, Double H. Until next week, may the force be with you, and we'll see you then. Later.